take. I think she's barely breathing for 1,000, Alex. It's 35 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, Megan, a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Southern State Radio. Thank you for coming by, Megan, a part of your listening day. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Friends and neighbors, Romans, countrymen. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And if you'd like to email today, you can do that as well. My well-scrubbed companion is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com or 503-733-2970. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to do it today. We're not going to do it tomorrow. We're not going to do it probably next month. But one of these days, it's not going to be a pay-per-view thing, but there will be some web-only, because the kids are all with the web content these days. And we are going to roll out some kind of web content that is just the 30 seconds before the microphones are turned on every day and the 30 seconds after the microphones are turned off at the end of every program. Because, I mean, and I could give it to you now, but it'd be all out of context. Wouldn't make any sense. It's a whole lot of Sarah saying, well, what do you mean you think she's alive? And I said, well, she doesn't look dead. And then,
yeah, anyway, you convinced me not to look at that.
Here's the thing, and I'm not gonna talk about this in any sort of graphical terminology, because it's not a thing you need to know. All I'm saying is this: is that there's, in my opinion, there's three different classes of websites. There are websites that when you see them horrify you, and your first response is to pass them on to somebody else. There's websites that when you first see them horrify you, and then you ponder, you weigh, you prevaricate about whether to pass them along. And then there are websites that you know are so wrong, so vile, so awful, so terrible. And I know, see, this is the perverse irony of the whole thing, is by saying it now, I know that everybody's going to be clamoring to see it. And I can never show it to you. I can never show it to you because I don't know that I can look myself in the mirror every day. I'm the one who has to shave this face, and I think I would be filled with shame and self-recrimination were I to point you toward it. So you can
Come
ask
on,
me, but
I
can't. I can't.
Okay.
I cannot describe
it. You really have been resisting this for 2 days.
I can't. No, because you keep asking me about it. Is it a guy? Did a guy send you the link?
No, he keeps calling and telling you to look at the link.
No, I've looked at the link. Save yourself. It's too late for me. Go on. Like saying aliens. Forget me. I'm gone. You've got to. Life is for the living, sir. You got to move on.
Okay.
But 2 minutes of conversation nobody cares about. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up today, Clown Watch. Double Clown Watch, I believe. Double Clown Watch. Double Whitney Watch. Battle Watch. We really have double everything today. It is a two thing. It's a two for... Hey, Kristen. We're here with Christian Bowie from KUFO. Over there, you work at an FM station. Do they have a two for something on Thursday? Do you guys do two of something on Thursday? Do you do two for Tuesday anymore? Is that a thing of the past?
I believe it is. I really do.
I'm sorry. Am I showing my... All right. You guys have any day of the week in which something that would normally be done once is done twice or perhaps even three times?
Menage a trois weekends on KUFO.
Oh, how about block party weekends? Featured the music of Boston.
Okay.
I guess not.
I'm a block party. Let's get some Glenn Miller. Okay.
The
All right.
Well, band's already coming back.
I guess that's wide open. It is Relatable Thursday, though, on the Rick Emerson program, where we talk about. I'll unveil it later. Well, it's a something blah blah blah. Insert term that refers to something being done twice the amount today. We have two top fives today, and I don't know which one we're going to do. Because yesterday we interviewed Marky Ramone, which was fantastic, by the way. And one more thing that I can check off the stuff to do before I die list. But we did not get to the Ramones top five. We had the top five Ramone songs featuring Marky Ramone. We have that, which we never got to. And then we still haven't done, we have Condoleezza Rice's top five songs of all time. And every time I say it, somebody emails in and they're speculating that I'm making it up, and I'm not. It's absolute. Tim found the story. It's true. So I have the top five Condoleezza Rice songs, and I have the top five Ramone songs featuring Marky Ramone. And I don't know which one we're going to do. We will get to one of those today, though. So you hang on. We'll get to one of them. We have Don Rickles tickets. We have a pair of tickets. See Don Rickles at Chinook Wings this Saturday featuring Buffet. So that'll be coming up.
That's not a band.
No, it's...
That's actual food.
You all know what you've been to. We've all been to Vegas here, right, everybody? You know, when you go to Vegas, it's... I mean, you go for the gambling, you stay for the bacon. Because it's just there. It's huge. It's... It's Gaussian. It's hundreds and hundreds. It's a gross of bacon. It's just strips there, just by the ton. So Rickles, this Saturday though, Chinook wins. So we got a pair of that, and we will give you your choice of two contests. See, everything's in twos today. There's some sort of a somebody out there come up with a name. You just be there's a two, and then there's a Thursday. And then it helps if there's some kind of an alliteration or crude sexual reference. That helps as well. So we've got all that to get to. What else? Jen Lane is going to be here from Barfly Magazine. I have a couple installments of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. I don't know which one. Somebody sent me that David Lee Roth thing, finally. Because we were running short of reasons to make fun of David Lee Roth. It had been almost 2 weeks since he'd failed at something. So we... It hurts me to say it. But so we have that. And we have other, I don't want to mention anything else. If we say it, we won't get to it. If I, by dint of saying it, it becomes this thing that'll never happen. So that is all on the way. Your phone calls, we have Lisa Goddard, because apparently we, again, killed the leader of Al-Qaeda. This is like the 9th, 10th time that we've killed the guy or the number. It's always
He's
the number
much
two
more
man.
Important than Osama bin Laden.
It's always his second in command. It's like 800 different... We have killed the second in command of... And it's like a many-headed hydra of seconds in command over there. So we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about that. Ed McCarthy, apparently New Orleans is just sinking away into the sludge.
No, they're going to build it better than ever.
Yes. Sure they are.
People are coming back in droves.
Just like we were going to rebuild Indonesia or whatever. I don't even remember where the tsunami was anymore. Wasn't there a tsunami that killed like a billion people?
Yeah, we kind of gave up though. Tsunamis happen there all the time.
It was in some place that had an S and a Z, kind of a Z country. Sarah, yeah. You went to college?
Don't look at me. I don't want to embarrass you by telling you the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who is here. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You rolling along?
I am.
Everybody in the building has had pad thai today, except for me, by the way. You all, we had this lunch yesterday. We went to, what is it, Bangkok Palace? Is that what that place is called? We went there
eating
on the company dime. And so what that means is everybody orders three times the food they normally would with an eye towards the packet. You
ordered like all those appetizers.
Are you going to eat those little pieces of lettuce?
Tim and I took them home in our to-go box.
And because of that, Katie Couric has to brown bag it.
Are you...
Because
there's
so much
of less moonbeasters. He's having to only half fill the Bentley today. Just, are you going to eat those pieces of parsley? They all get stuffed in when you take them home. So, anyway.
That time is always better the second day.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole building reeks of peanut sauce and tofu today. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification.
Oh, it's a joyous day as pictures of a dead, bloated corpse of Allison Cowley are flaunted for the world to see. And Republicans say, had those lily-livered Democrats gotten their way, we wouldn't be celebrating this glorious death today. Iraqis dance in the street, shaking their burqas with glee. Back here at stateside, a local tanning salon owner is charged with taking pictures of scantily clad ladies with a cell phone.
Just like that episode of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Do you have the name of the tanning place?
Do you have the pictures of the cell phone?
It's just a tease. We'll reveal it shortly.
It's not just a tease. It's a guarantee.
I just went tanning yesterday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, here come the emails. When was your... Did you go to therapy today as well?
No, I went. I went to therapy then. I had a very productive morning yesterday. And this morning, I went over to Metro and did some training stuff. So,
why, Sarah?
Oh, I don't know, Rick.
Why for? Did you go to Metro today?
Well, because I'm no longer working at Coin News 6.
Oh, are you going to be spending more time with
bringing news home?
But you don't even have to get it right anymore. It doesn't even matter. Does bringing news to the thing with Coin? Here's the thing. Is it? I don't know if it has something to do with our relentless reading of and snickering at Peter Carlin's five-part excoriating a news series that he wrote about Coin, which is apparently, it's not just like rats, it's like rats actually fleeing a Titanic that is on fire while being attacked by goblins wielding swords. That's apparently what it's like to work at Coin now. But now, Sue, we should clarify this. So now you are no longer with Coin. You were spending more time with your dog.
I am spending more time, yes.
And we should squelch rumors right now. Did you leave or were you asked to leave?
I did leave.
You did leave.
It was
not, it was not an escorted out by a guy.
I have been tired for 2 years.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Was it a careful ado?
No, it was really nice. I told them not to make a big deal.
Did they have Matt Lauer come on and talk about the many hairstyles you've had over the years?
No, they brought me cupcakes.
Excellent.
And a picture.
Well, there you go. So you won't have Sarah Dillon to kick around or leer at in a lascivious fashion in the morning.
Of the team.
Oh, are you in this picture with the team?
I am.
Did they do? Did your time at Coin end with like a snapshot, like in a very special episode of Family Ties?
No, actually, they gave me a copy of the picture they gave Mark Ronchetti.
Yeah. With a heart?
Where it snaps and it goes to black and white and then turns to like an 18-degree angle to the left.
No, actually, Frank, the graphics guy, put my head on a bodybuilding woman's body.
Excellent.
And with a sash that said traffic on it.
Fantastic.
Yes, it was gold.
Well, we'll talk more about... Speaking of pictures, by the way, we're getting so behind, but Sarah and Tim, you have seen the initial shot, the initial official...
Yes, I have.
Rhyming's starting up. You've seen the initial official pic, though, of the Horns Across the Hawthorn thing.
It's better than anything Coin could put together.
It is... Coin, who are the closest to the event, and yet the only people... You're 5 feet away! The coin tower is in that you can reach out and touch it. Goddamn K2's like 10 miles away. They came to cover it. Coin, we can't be bothered. Anyway. Well, in any event, they're getting rid of all the people I liked anyway. Mark Ronchetti's gone. You're gone. Cole is still there, though.
Core.
Never mind. This is a good time to go to the news. Here's Tim Riley. Thank you.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News.
What's Cole then?
And now, from the city desk,
Mr. Holland.
Tim Riley.
All right.
From high atop the bottom of the Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek. Tim Riley reporting. Oh, what a mess it's going to be today. 4 humongous ships will arrive between 3 and 6. They are San Diego-based destroyers, the USS Pebble, the USS John Paul Jones, the frigate called USS Rents, and the Everett-based frigate, the USS Abraham. So there's going to be a traffic congestion everywhere, so be aware of that. Police have arrested the owner of a Woodburn tanning salon. Sarah Dillon, stop listening. After he was accused of taking photographs of partially clad women with a cell phone while they were tanning.
Yeah.
Where is this?
You missed it.
Oh, no.
It's deeply stupid, too, because everybody knows that the key is just to do it Chuck Berry style. We get those little pinhole cameras up on the... You know, I'm just saying, how smart can you be? Because it implies... I don't go tanning, as maybe anybody who's seen me would know, but doesn't it seem like the easier way to do it is just to install a camera in the tanning bed itself?
Oh.
I suppose so.
Well, no, I mean...
There isn't really any place to put it with bulbs and the...
No, but I mean,
with a little effort,
it implies that what happened to being an American. It seems like because if you're tanning there, if he's taking it with a cell phone, that implies that while you're there, you have to, you know, the door opens and then he comes in and leans in like into the frame, Gollum style, and takes a bunch of pictures.
And have to adjust the brightness because those things are pretty bright.
And then it's always on flash when you don't want it to be on flash, and then your memory card is full, and you got to delete the photos of your dog. So.
Well, Rudy Ruiz of Jervis was arrested for invasion of personal privacy after he allegedly used his cell phone camera to take pictures of women at Cutter's Tanning. The arrest stems from a June 1st incident when a woman who was tanning at the shop owned by Ruiz called police and filed a complaint. They began investigating and found Ruiz may have allegedly taken pictures of other clients in the past 6 months. The investigation continues in an effort to identify other potential victims. Woodburn police want to hear from any clients of Cutter's Tanning.
I got to tell you,
they've attended the last 6 months.
We've talked about it. All technology will eventually be used for first-person shooting games and pornography. And so 80% of all cell phone pictures are things that shouldn't really be photographed. People who don't know that they're on camera. Things that will inadvertently be forwarded to your entire office. Things that your wife will find when she's looking for your pictures of your kid's birthday party. So you all... Be very careful with it. All technology. I could go through my phone right now, which I will not. But I could go through my phone right now. It holds, I think, 55 pictures, 75, something like that. And probably 98% of them are things I don't even remember why I took them. But they're all embarrassing in some form or another because it's all like pictures of my poodle or some crap. So I just assume you are on camera everywhere. So, and I mean, let's be honest. I mean, is where Woodburn?
Yes.
Well, you've all been to Woodburn.
I've been by it. I've never stopped there.
Driven through. That's where the Smucker's factory used to be. Oh. I think the Smucker's factory is closed, though. I think there was some union busting that happened. I'm just saying, if you're a woman in Woodburn, the odds are pretty likely that you've been posing for nude photographs for most of your life anyway. So, baby's got to pay the rent.
Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Thursday. Yeah, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Uh,
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
May he rot in hell, say the families of his victims. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the most wanted terrorist in Iraq, who waged a bloody campaign of beheadings and public bombings, was killed by U.S. warplanes after they dropped 500-pound bombs in his isolated safe house at some point in Iraq. Al-Zarqawi was eliminated, said the prime minister of the day. The president says the al-Zarqawi death can be a source of pride for Iraqis and U.S. forces alike.
Don't. For the love of...
Iraqis can be justly proud of their new government and its early steps to improve their security. And Americans can be enormously proud of the men and women of our armed forces who worked tirelessly with their Iraqi counterparts to track down this brutal terrorist and to put him out of business.
Okay. This is like that. This is like that day that the MPAA and the RIA put out that thing that file trading was now going to be stopped because they'd gotten rid of Sean Fanning and Napster, and therefore our long national nightmare was over.
Dust off that mission accomplished banner and hang it high with pride.
Get ready to fly into something and to walk around like a nitwit.
What happened? Well, two F-16 warplanes dropped two 500-pound bombs in a safe house in a northern village. A Lieutenant Gary L. North is commander of the Air Force team that dropped the deadly bomb.
We used the appropriate weapon for proportional response so that we could ensure that there was no collateral damage and that we would be able to very accurately attack.
Dropping two 500-pound bombs on a single guy does scream proportional response, doesn't it? Well, all right. Doesn't matter. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
Well,
all that matters is that we got Bin Laden. Oh.
No, that's not him.
No. Sorry. Okay. Well, then.
Republican National Committee Press Secretary Tracy Schmidt said, aha, what do the Democrats think now? They wanted to run away. All their gloom and doom didn't help their cause.
Democrats who have been touting and advocating a policy of cut and run for months really should have to answer as to whether the American people, the Iraqi people in the world, would be better off if the man that Bin Laden referred to as the Prince of Al-Qaeda were not dead.
I don't even know what he was doing. I'm not... Clearly he's a bad guy. The odds are like 95% that if you live in that part of the world, you're a bad guy in some way, shape, or form. But I'm not even
He was
really...
the leader of the people who beheaded people.
Okay, I thought that there weren't... Just going now on what my own government has told me, I was to understand that there were no bands of people, that they were all, what was it, insurgents? No, dead-enders.
Yeah.
They were all dead-enders, and it was scattered pockets of underfunded guerrilla resistance.
Well,
I was...
they became cul-de-sackers.
Okay, there you go.
Meanwhile, the father of the American beheaded in Iraq 3 years ago has spoken out with anger about the death of al-Zarqawi. Michael Berg's son Nicholas was beheaded in May of 2004 with al-Zarqawi suspected of carrying out the gruesome attack himself. And today, the father told reporters this is all about revenge.
Nick was killed in revenge for the atrocities that George Bush encouraged and orchestrated at the Abu Ghraib prison. Revenge is an endless cycle, and it begets nothing but more revenge.
Well, that's probably not the response the White House was hoping for that guy. Sorry,
well,
George.
We better go to Texas and get this hoitousness.
Quick, get Ann Coulter over there to ridicule his pain.
And then there's that Texas Senator John Cornyn who says it's no surprise that he's heard reports of Iraqis dancing in the streets today.
Well, makes no mistake about it, Zarqawi was killing many Iraqis as well as Americans, and these were largely innocent civilians as part of his reign of terror.
All right, okay. There'll be like a gymboree in a Starbucks over there by the end of the day.
Right. Meanwhile, security forces thwarted a bombing in the southern Afghan town by capturing a donkey full of explosives and a man who plotted to blow up the donkey.
How are we losing to the... I'm sorry.
No, it's
I lost my journalistic objectivity. It's a goddamn donkey full of
It's
Doesn't anyone care that we are being beaten by the Flintstones? For the love of sweet Christ. This is like Planet of the Apes over there. How is it there's people riding around on camels with spears. How is it that we are not finished? I don't understand.
Well, it's Donkey Bomb and not Donkey Kong.
Please tell me that was written on the page. Please tell me that was written there. Was it?
No, I was practicing to be a TV anchorman on Coin.
Oh, Tim thinks it's a free-for-all now.
Now, everybody can just... Now, have they replaced you yet, or is it...
No, they haven't replaced me yet.
All right. I mean, not that you can, not that you can ever be replaced. But
they're searching. I think when I get back from Boston, I think I might be training somebody.
Do you approve your replacement, or do they just
no?
All right. Is it just like because nature abhors a vacuum? Is this just one of those things where you just, do they promote from within at Coin, or is it?
There's nobody to promote.
Are they going to promote one of the robot cameras? Are they, can they like promote one of those sad empty cubicles to do your job? They should totally do that. They should totally do. Because we like to promote the remaining employees into the new positions and then just cut to like a sad mailbox with like a name blacked out. Come on, that's funny. It's funny because I don't work there. It hasn't happened to me. It is not today anyway.
Well, that is today's Battle Watch.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
I'm a tall well ag- ah, I keep doing that. It's like a
what?
Third time
That's
today.
The second
That's
time.
Instant karma from mocking Coin. It's all well and good that we killed Zarqawi? What's his name?
Al Zarqawi.
Al Zarqawi?
Yeah.
Al? Like Al's Diner?
Yeah.
It's all well and good that he's gone. I don't mean to sound cynical about these things. And I really mean this now. I just have lost track of what we're doing there. And I don't mean to be deliberately obtuse.
We're helping further the cause of democracy.
Okay, these are questions
over one dead body at a time on the way.
These are questions clearly for Lisa Goddard. I'm unclear about what our objective is. You know, it's like when you go to a company and it's, you know, everybody has a mission statement.
Yeah.
Do we have a mission statement at CBS Radio? Kristen, you've worked here longer than us. Do we have a mission statement? Is it something about how people are our most important asset? You have no idea, do you?
I know it vaguely. It's like something about we must be the best and do the best every single day or something.
Wow,
right,
I feel good.
I think you're bluffing. That sounds like...
It's right out there.
That sounds like some stuff you read at, like, one of the Christian bookstores, no. Or, like, in the motivational section.
Come on, Dad.
Had, like, a picture of, like, a tree and a river in front of it or something.
Yes, because I frequent Christian bookstores.
Not? Okay. We should move on. In any event, well, that... I guess we'll ask Lisa Goddard about it. I guess... You know, whatever, you know. Just bomb everybody. Doesn't matter to me, man. I don't really care. You know, as long as the next season of Entourage starts in like 4 days, it's all. As long as that's not interrupted, then nothing else. You know, this is fine. Long as that and the price of the Quiznos chili bowls it doesn't go up, I don't really care what happens. I'm just unclear about who we're killing and why. But
we're killing everyone. everyone.
I guess
we do not discriminate.
I guess I should just learn to quit asking questions. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Here's a little trip down memory lane. Remember, before Sarah came here, we had a young lady named Christina.
Oh, yeah.
Who went to bed with her husband because, and even you were aghast at the fact that he was visiting students to preach religion in public schools.
Yes, it's part. What was that group called? Young Life?
Well, the Ben Lapine School.
The look of horror. The look of utter revulsion. It's like I just offered her some rancid kippers.
No, it's my high school life was made torturous by a bunch of people.
Didn't think they could come to the public high schools anymore.
Well,
the
government told them.
Well, that was also like 8 years ago.
Well, the Ben Lapine School District has stopped youth pastors from the local church from visiting students.
In Bend?
Yep, in the school cafeteria.
Yeah, sorry, John.
The pastors from Ben's Westside Church used to check in on students who are already part of their youth ministry program for the past 3 years. The church members would visit about a month to 4 middle schools and 3 high schools in Ben. And parents found out years later and complained, so the school district drew them out.
What is it that they're stopping in to check on exactly?
We don't know.
Make sure you're not hiding anybody behind a bookcase?
I suppose so.
All right.
So that's that. Well, then we have this other breaking piece of news. There's a major ruling today in a pre-sex abuse case in Portland. A federal judge in Portland has ruled that a sex abuse lawsuit against the Vatican itself can move forward. So that's the first time this has happened. Lawyers are calling it a titanic legal victory. You couldn't sue the Vatican before, but now you can.
All right, so there you go. So it looks like Christina, who could have seen this coming? Christina may have chosen poorly by leaving here to move to Bend with her weird Jack Johnson-looking husband.
Well, it's too late to come back now.
That's my sister, I told her, and my conscience is clear. Bye now.
Thank you, Christina.
All right. Just keep sending me those Christmas photos of you and your dog. All right. Well, we should break here. We got Lisa Goddard coming up from CNN Radio. Later on, Ed McCarthy, who apparently is knee-deep in the muck in New Orleans, as they said. We'll be talking to him, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, and either the top five Marky Ramone songs of all time or the top five songs you will find on Condoleezza Rice's iPod. We will get to one of those today. And also, it's the worst song you've ever heard. Don Rickles tickets. Blah, 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 blah. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine. And a pair of Don Rickles tickets. This is Chinook Winds this coming Saturday. We got a pair of those we will be giving away as well. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hello. How are you, Rick?
I am doing fantastically today.
Wow. Well, happy Thursday to you, then.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. How are things in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, boy. It has been a busy day here, but, you know, Republicans and Democrats singing the same song today as far as Zarqawi goes. Everyone very happy and also everyone very cautious.
Now, let me ask you this. And, again, I'm not being deliberately obtuse about all this, but as we noted, we've noted for a while now that it seems like we are repeatedly killing whoever is second in command of Al-Qaeda. It does. Is this just sort of a, like when I was a kid, there was sort of, at Thanksgiving, there would be the normal table and then there was the card table where the kids all sat. And the only way you could move up from the card table to the big table was for like your grandmother to die or so, like an aunt would pass away.
At the kids table.
Yeah.
Until I was 25.
Yeah. I'm saying you would then leave the card table and you would move to the larger table. Is this kind of what happens there where we'll kill the guy who's number two, bam, next guy steps up and then he becomes like the most wanted guy, or we just bombing random houses and then we're opening it up like some sort of a gift basket to see what was inside? Or I don't understand why this guy, and out of the millions of bad guys that are lurking there right now.
I hear what you're saying, but I think, you know, right now there definitely were two most wanted men, and the other one has been the number one most wanted terrorist in the world since 2001. So I think that's more the theme, that somehow Osama bin Laden has got a system that is working very well around U.S. intelligence efforts to get him. The other guys, either you can say they're more active or they're not as smart, whatever it is. Zarqawi, I don't think he was sitting at the kids' table of terrorists. I think this was a very serious target, and this was, in a way, he had more of a hand in what was happening day to day, especially in the Middle East with terrorist attacks. And he really was seen as sort of a, people always say field lieutenant, but really was a commander on the ground and throwing bombs, beheading people. Whereas Osama bin Laden seems to like these more bold strokes, figure tactics.
So he's not really, I'm not saying he's a good guy, but he's not a figurehead. He was actually had an active role in some of this, because I know what,
yes.
We were just talking about how Rumsfeld, his constant refrain is that there is no organized insurgency, that they are just, quote, a bunch of dead enders.
Well, here's where it gets tricky. The truth is that there are multiple groups in Iraq that are causing violence. When you talk about the insurgency, that's not necessarily talking about Zarqawi. The insurgency is a lot of the former Saddamists, the Ba'athists, the folks who wore military uniforms under Saddam. You know, he had something like 300,000 military officers or folks in the army under him. A lot of those folks are who we think of, often referred to as insurgents. Zarqawi, usually you talk about as being a terrorist. He has his own group that are also trying to disrupt the U.S. and coalition troops, but they're really not just focused on Iraq. They just seem to have found a really strong base there. They've also caused problems in Jordan, all over the Middle East. So, and that's why you hear all the folks up here, as much as they're declaring victory, you hear the president being very careful, saying, oh, don't get your expectations up. because he knows that there probably will still be significant violence in Iraq. Zarqawi was the head of one significant group, and there may be another head to pop up after him, like you said, but there were other groups operating separately that are still there.
It's a good thing that George Bush didn't do anything to raise our hopes in the past. I'm glad he carefully avoided all flamboyant and ultimately pointless gestures that might have raised our hopes that this would be over quickly. Here's a dumb question, and it's kind of a loaded question, I guess, but from your perspective, on what do you hear, what you see, how is it operating over there? Is the so-called Iraq government, which we have put into place, are these insurgent groups more powerful than the government? I mean, do they have a bigger influence and a bigger impact on the country on a day-to-day basis than the government does? The Iraqi government, I mean?
I think it's very easy. It's easy to throw bombs. It's easy to, not easy for me. I don't know how to do it. But it's much easier to be a naysayer, if you want to talk about a small level, or it's much easier to attack something than to actually form a stable government. I think certainly those who want to take down the government have kind of an easier job. The folks who want to establish a government have all of these different sides against them, and it's much more difficult. So in that way, I think the amount of violence these groups have been able to cause does give them some control over how people perceive daily life. People are scared. They're just today, I think something like 37 Iraqis, maybe more, I need to check the count now, have been killed in violence. And so that kind of number is really changes how you perceive your society, even as government tries to establish itself. But, you know, there is some truth that the government is starting to get on its feet. We'll see. They just got their defense minister approved today. We'll see. I think they still have a lot to do, but certainly they're not in control of the image that the average Iraqi has of its own society.
Here's a dumb question. The government paints this image, or rightly or wrongly, of the well, we'll just call it the broad umbrella of the oppositional forces in Iraq, of them all just being these underfed, undersupplied, underarmed guys, like living in a cave somewhere, that are coming out and bothering us. If you have this guy at the top, you have, you know, al-Zarqawi, who was there, and he was sort of, everything was trickling down from him. Like, how is that even working? What kind of infrastructure do they even have to be communicating with each other? It seems suspiciously well organized for something that is supposedly just so backward and primitive. Like we were seeing today that there was some story about they literally, it sounded like a joke, the story, literally they have donkey bombs that they are using. So it doesn't really seem like they got like 1 foot in like the 16th century and like 1 foot in this one, you know?
I am not an intelligence expert in this area, but we do know that a lot of these groups have past military experiences. Zarqawi supposedly fought in Afghanistan. There's been some doubt about that, but he said that he did. So they have past military experience. At least some of his commanders probably did as well. And we know that, for instance, the Palestinians have their own rocket factories that they use in just huts and houses. They have ways of taking material that they sneak out of Israel and turning it into rockets that they launch at Israel. Likewise, in Iraq, a lot of U.S. intelligence sources have been pointing to, but not definitively accusing, Iran and Syria of supplying a lot of the technology and weapons for these guys. But other folks say some of these weapons might have come from Afghanistan once the Taliban was running, and they still had some weapons left over from the war with the Soviet Union. And some of the weapons that the U.S. supplied at that time were still around. So there's a lot of interests out there that support folks like Zarqawi that the U.S. believes is helping him get communication devices and weapons, nothing like the two 500-pound bombs that the U.S. dropped on him last night or yesterday, but they still found a way to get supplies from like-minded terror groups.
All right, well, we will see how things unfold from this day forward. Our Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, Lisa.
You got it.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent, Washington.
All right. On Saturday market and selling donkey bombs.
You know, here's the thing. I cannot tell. I was just talking to somebody about this last night. I can't tell. Every single day, the things over there just seem to be spiraling further and further down at this blackness. I cannot tell whether that's closer or farther away from putting Jeb Bush in the White House in 2008. Some days you ask me and I'm like, that's it, they're hosed, they're out, it's all Hillary. And then some days it just seems like we're going to end up with President Pat Buchanan. You know what I mean?
You can't have a president named Jeb.
So you would think. I mean, you know, but what are you going to do? All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
What started as a crack grew into a huge gushing hole. Pacific Power workers were doing maintenance on the Klamath Lake yesterday afternoon when they noticed a crack in the Gary Dyke. The crack grew quickly, then a 60-foot section of the levee gave way, spilling the lake over the main highway connecting Klamath Falls with Medford, killing the tourist trade. The gushing water kept eroding the earthen levee, so the breach kept growing up to 300 feet, leaving more than 200 acres of farmland underwater.
This is one of those days when there probably is an actual story here somewhere, but my five-year-old brain is still back on the headline, and so I didn't really process anything you said after that. But don't try not to take that personally. Where was it? Was this here somewhere?
Klamath Lake.
All right. Isn't Klamath that place where the farmers didn't have any water anyway?
No, they do.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
What goes around comes around. They have plenty of water now.
God answers prayers on a delayed basis sometimes.
Let's hope that cattle can swim.
Have some water. All right.
That was actually Lisa calling back, making sure she'd called the right show.
What? Really?
She said it was, yeah. She's like, that was
there
the
was very
serious
cerebral.
Conversations session I've ever had.
There was substance. Look, I'm not just a pretty face.
Sure.
I'm not just here to shake my cans and
I
look.
I know. Shake your cakes, honey.
It was like Charlie Rose sitting around that old oak table at 11:30 every night on BBC.
Yes. Now, look, I can talk about the serious, compelling, hard issues of the day.
Nobody wants to hear it.
No one wants to hear it, but I can do it.
Well, there are other venues for such things.
Well, later on, we'll talk to Ed McCarthy, and I'll make cheap Anne Rice jokes. Because apparently New Orleans is sinking into something or other. I don't really know. Here, my grasp of geology and geography is so tenuous that I don't really even, and this is not the time to call about this, by the way.
Well, let's call Lisa Goddard back. I'm sure she can straighten out any doubts you have.
She was a mathlete. We got to nag her about that picture of her in the mathlete shirt. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I find it, and I don't mean this in a creepy
way. You sound
leering
and creepy.
I'm not trying to sound leering.
Your voice dropped like 10 octaves. We need to find a picture of her in the mathlete shirt.
We need to find a picture of Lisa Goddard in the, I mean this in a, in a non-lascivious way.
Sure. I don't want to see a picture of her in a mathlete shirt. Why do you want to see a picture of her in a mathlete shirt?
Because I find it kind of sexy. In theory, in a wholesome way. In a wholesome, all-American, squeaky clean, girl next door kind of way. You know it's true. It's like that girl.
No, I don't.
You do know it's true. It's like on Tuesday. I can sense it right now. You know what I'm doing right now?
No, I'm not asking CNN correspondents for 12, you know, like 30-year-old pictures of them.
Not because
while they're dressed up as mathletes.
I'm not saying it's because, how old was she? Well, she would have been in high school. I'm not saying it's because she was, I'm saying the mathlete. I'd take a picture of her in a mathlete shirt now, but I suspect that she doesn't have one anymore. I'm not trying to be creepy. Perhaps I'm being creepy.
I think so, yes.
Bastards, I'm just trying to share my inner thoughts with you.
Don't.
Y'all up in a brother's grill about it. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. I'm just trying to keep it trill. Being trilled to the music. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. Graduating seniors at Pleasant Hill, Oregon High School are in no rush to get to school on their final day.
Is there something bad happening at a place called Pleasant Hills? That's how the news works.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Mowing your lawn at night is one way to cut down on ozone. About a dozen of them drove to school on riding lawnmowers, forcing traffic on Highway 58 to slow down to 10 miles per hour. We wanted to make people wait, joked Cody Long, spelled K-O-D-I. We're trying to teach them a lesson, not to hurry.
I don't understand. I'm still back on mowing your lawn at night cuts down on ozone.
I guess they're going to have to read slower then. Ty Holloway was puttering along on a John Deere, a gas tank held to the hood, where he was stopped by a policeman. The policeman laughed heartily and sent him on his way.
Artist rendering of laughter.
But Springfield Police Sergeant Mike Wisdom says it was technically legal. A riding lawnmower meets the legal definition of a motor vehicle.
I don't understand what the story is about.
I'm slowing down as much as I can.
No,
they're
I'm
riding lawnmowers to school.
Because of the ozone.
No, because they're just little crap.
Because they're hicks.
Yeah, because they're craphead kids.
Where is this at?
Pleasant Hill.
And that's where?
Oregon.
They're bored.
Where is Pleasant? Kristen, are you from here?
Yeah.
We're here with Christian from KUFO's. Now, we should say, by the way, because you're going to be filling in for Sarah next week. Because Sarah's abandoning us callously and cruelly without mercy next week.
I'm going to be Upper East Side.
You're going to be in Manhattan?
I'm going to be in Boston and then in Manhattan. Staying with my friend Colin. He lives right next to Central Park.
You'll be kicking it in all five boroughs
and
so forth.
Well, he works for Time Warner, so he gets to go to all these fancy parties.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good times. So Kristen will be here next week. So there's another Kristen on the show, which is why I've got to kind of. But what was my point? Blah, 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 blah. Hicks. Oh, yeah. Are you from here?
Yes.
Okay, where is Pleasant Hills?
I have no idea.
Okay,
all right, on to the next story.
Thanks,
thank
Kristen.
You very much for
thanks
stopping
for stepping
by.
Up and failing right there on
okay,
the air.
Okay, let's move along to a different story.
Your value as a fill-in has just plummeted.
Hey!
Oh. I'm just kidding. I don't understand. Do you have the story?
I threw it away.
Okay,
we're
moving on.
Anymore.
Never, the story's dead. Screw that. I renounced that story.
And now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Don't call about it.
Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards agreed to extend a temporary restraining order requiring the actor to stay away from his troubled wife. Neither actor was present in Superior Court when their lawyers agreed to an extension that keeps an order in effect till June 28th. The original order was issued in April. It requires Sheen to stay at least 300 yards from Richards and their daughters,
I don't
except
really,
for supervised visits. Another story?
No, I'm just saying. Isn't this the same Charlie Sheen that said, I hope you get effing face cancer and die?
It is, yeah.
And then he apparently spends all his time with whores and big piles of blow?
That's the same one, yeah.
So why does she need a restraining order to keep him away? It sounds like he's...
Well, it sounds like they have a joint restraining order, which I don't understand why he'd sign a restraining order against himself.
Sounds like... I don't know. It seems like the...
I believe the levee might have broken while he was riding on his lawnmower.
Wait, it's between Oak Ridge and Eugene. Well, that doesn't help me. I don't know where Oak Ridge is. Well, whatever. It's somewhere. And Hicks were riding their lawnmowers to school because of the ozone. I swear to God, the story said ozone somewhere.
It did. Oh. It was the last day of school,
not
too.
Not because of the ozone. They don't care about the ozone. They're Hicks.
Well, they haven't seen that old Gore movie then.
Aren't you glad you decided to come and fill in next week, Kristen? Best show ever.
Static.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do something we can all understand. Here's a double clown watch.
Here's your clown watch for a Thursday. This show must sound so confusing to someone who's never really experienced it before. Really, until you view it through the eyes of a Kristen from KUFO, you don't really...
Now I'm going to stop periodically to make sure everyone understands what's happening.
We should have a mission statement for this program. That'd clear things up.
Mm-hmm.
And then an employee of the month thing on the wall that gets dusty that no one looks at.
Oh, since there are only three of us, I bet I'd get it a lot.
Police are looking for a man dressed as a clown who robbed a bank in South Charlotte. This is North Carolina. A man was wearing a funny wig, a fake beard, fake teeth, and a mustache.
I've seen this picture. He's a really low-budget clown, too. He had not even the financial wherewithal to put together a decent clown outfit.
He held up the First Citizens Bank at the corner of Highway 51 and Johnson Road. Police recovered cash in the parking lot during behind the bank. The money was stained red from dye packs that exploded during the getaway.
Here's the thing about people who rob banks now. None of
and
us...
And clowns.
Yes, and clowns. None of us... Maybe he's busy plying his clown trade, and it doesn't stick near the... But, I mean, for like 35 years now, hadn't everybody who's seen a Rockford Files episode, you know that when you walk... I walked out of the Gap a while back with a pair of, like, socks or something that I forgot to debuzz on the thing. And as I was walking towards the thing, it started to beep, and I immediately dropped them for fear that it would explode blue dye all over me. You know what I mean? Which it didn't, because... That would be stupid. But my point is that everybody knows if you steal something, the odds are like 1 in 3 it's going to blow up and douse you with some sort of fluorescent liquid. I don't understand people who rob banks and don't understand this at this point. Everybody knows that that's what happens.
Second clown story. A 46-year-old Beechwood man, state unknown, who works as a nurse's aide and part-time clown, has been charged with possession of child pornography on his personal computer. Walter Holman, who works as a nurse's aide at Meridian Healthcare in Brick Township,
nurse's
and has
aide.
A business where he performs as Skates the Clown, was
Jesus
charged
Christ.
With one count of child endangerment for possession of child pornography. If convicted of the fourth-degree crime, Holman faces 18 months in prison and may also have to register as a sex offender under Megan's Law. There's no indication that anyone other than this clown was believed responsible for child pornography discovered on this computer.
All right, there you go. It's always clowns, kids. There you go. There's your clown watch for Thursday. Stay away from clowns. All right, here we go. Let's see. Pleasant Hill. My friends and I call them Pleasant Hill Billies, says this guy. Rick. Oh my God, listen to this. Okay, this is from Maria. No, it's from... Do you ever get an email where, like, the subject, the from says it's from one name, and then, like, it's signed another name, and
no.
You're confused? Okay. Rick, I'm ashamed to admit, move on! Have I been gonged out? Is that what just happened here?
No, we're just trying to keep things moving along.
Are you secretly a consultant? You know, we talk a lot about consultants on the show.
I like Have Tim. You... Tim's snippy today. I love it when he's in this mood.
Rick, I'm ashamed to admit I grew up in Eugene, but I feel compelled to tell you the story can be summed up in one moniker. Wait for it. Their mascot is the Billies. They are the Pleasant Hill Billies.
I was the Trojans.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
The Olympic High School Trojans.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Real proud.
Yeah, everybody's telling me that. Blah, blah, blah. Hillbillies. Blah, blah, blah. Hillbillies. All right. There you go. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, it's a day that Cleo's graduating class and the principal won't soon forget. Principal Keith Smith is working to press charges against two students who say grabbed his bottom while they accepted their diplomas.
Fantastic.
Smith says he's in shock and frankly embarrassed about what two students did when they took the stage. They came over to shake my hand, he says. As they were shaking my hand, they reached around and grabbed my posterior and started rubbing it. Well, Smith says not just one, but two students did it in front of thousands of people at the Clio Amphitheater Sunday during graduation.
Oh, fantastic. Where is this at?
Don't know what state Clio would be in.
Okay. About 80% of our stories come from states and regions unknown.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If I did this as a student, I would be out of a job, he said. If I did this to a parent, I would be out of a job. I don't know why people are upset.
You know, here's the thing. You got to understand about school administrators are among... there's something deeply wrong and psychotic with almost everyone who is the school administrator. School administrators have, and I'm speaking now generally, school administrators, the higher you go up in the school structure and the more authority they give you to impose discipline on students, the less of a sense of humor you have, the smaller your brain typically is, the more unbending you are about things. And... like, the higher you go up in the authority structure to school, the more unbending and humorless they become about things that are smaller and make no difference to anyone, that have no impact on anything anywhere. So, you know, just get over it, pal. And everyone knows this. Everyone knows that at every graduation ceremony, there's like 15 nitwits in the back that cook up something bizarre to do. There's always 500 cans of silly string in the back. And to go with that story, there was always some humorless ass of a principal. And they hold that thing, well, I'm not going to give you your diploma. And like anyone cares at that point. Like, I'm not going to give you this empty book sitting on the stage that symbolizes your diploma. As though you can exercise any authority over a kid when you're getting ready to graduate. And a kid in my class that was completely nude underneath his robe. What are you going to do? You can't. Nothing you can do about it.
I received my diploma from Bishop Odor Gendron.
Really?
His first name was Odor. O-D-O-R.
I'm trying to remember what even happened to my graduation. I think Tom Foley spoke at my graduation.
Was that a full word? O-D-O-R?
Uh-huh. That was his first name.
Is he a Viking god of something?
I think he's out of a job by now.
Did he come in a steed of fire?
Yeah.
That's like my teacher, Mrs. Fajot.
Fajot? How was that spelled?
F-A-G-G-O-T.
Oh, that poor woman. That poor woman.
I am five.
It's like, well, she had a daughter named Debbie, too. Debbie didn't have an easy time in high school.
Okay, this is completely true. Okay, no, I can't, because you know what will happen as soon as I tell this other story.
You've got to tell it.
Then. No, because Tim, that's one, right? We're starting with Tim.
Yeah.
You told a story, that's two. Mm-hmm. As soon as I tell the story and make it three, that's all we're going to be talking about for the rest of the day. I can't.
Is it a good name?
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell this story, and then every single phone line is going to ring. I went to school with a guy named Icy Wiener.
Well, we've got to go to break, so why don't you do it? We'll go to break.
All right. Well, let's do one more, and then I'll tell you. Do one more story here. Well, here's what's coming up, by the way. We got Rickles tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Don Rickles, including buffet. Let's see. Well, we have a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, who apparently is about to be submerged in some sort of goo in New Orleans. We have the top five, either Condoleezza Rice's top five songs of all time or top five songs featuring Marky Ramone, one of the two. We got that. Jen Lane is going to be here. We got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We'll talk a little bit more about the Sarah and her newfound freedom. What else? Well, let's do one more here, and then I'll tell you the name, and then we'll break.
Well, since 9/11, federal air marshals have been traveling on thousands of flights. I've never seen one. Their job is to track suspected terrorists and deter anyone who might want to hijack the plane. But some marshals are concerned about what happened on one of the flights when one of their bosses was reportedly sleeping.
Oh, great.
The concern is about the agent in charge of the Denver office, whose name is Tony Hedges. According to a former United Airlines flight attendant, Hedges, who was carrying a gun, was sleeping on the flight to D.C. and made him vulnerable to be disarmed. Hedges calls the incident a cockamamie lie.
Who says cockamamie? What is
Mr. Hedges does.
It's a bunch of ne'er-do-wells responsible for this?
Bunch of ruffians? Little rascals?
Seriously. All right, so there
okay,
you go. I thought air marshals were a thing that, like...
No, I think they're on all flights.
They're not, though. They Look, I don't mean to be giving...
Okay, you know, I'm flying in 2 days. They're all on all flights.
They're not.
Okay.
And even if they are, they're sleeping and the freaking guns are right there. But at least they check your shoes, you know, so everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. And what, did you see that thing that they're going to be doing now where you can sign up for some frequent blah, blah, blah program so you don't have to be searched anymore? Have you guys know what I'm talking about? Where it's on certain airlines now, if you fly frequently, which doesn't make any freaking sense to me. I don't understand. How is that? Never mind.
Well, just don't sign up for the frequent terrorist plan.
No, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here because even thinking, airline security is one of those things that I'm not going to drone
it's
on
just
about.
Annoying.
It is annoying, but here's the thing is that
I get yelled at for failing to take my laptop out of the bag.
You know what it is? Airline security is like a pledge drive on PBS. You sort of forget that it's there because you know how often you think. But then, like, every time you go to use the thing, it's right there blocking. You know what I mean? How many times you tune in, I'm going to watch the young ones, and it's just like a bank of idiots at a phone offering you a tote bag for $5,000. So it is at the airport. Me, can't wait to get to the airport. Boy, I'm looking forward to my... And then you just see the line of idiots stretching out, and then some minimum wage with a gun trying to probe some delicate area of my body to make sure that I'm not smuggling in a donkey wrapped in dynamite.
They take away my belt buckle.
Oh, you sons of bitches. And I've told, this is the final thing I'll say, because you all have heard this before, and this is completely true. This sounds like some sort of wacky happenstance, but it is completely true that the last time that she gives me the lecture now because she knows that it just takes, that I'm spoiling for an argument with those people. But I go to the airport, and I swear to God, I'm having to go through like 8, 9, 10, 12 times, and I'm being searched by a woman, and they all wear the name tags, and her name is Liberty. I swear, it's like they hired her just to screw with me. It's like they did it just to make my day more colorful and interesting. Anyway, all right, I'm done.
Okay, the guy's name from high school.
All right, I'm going to write it down.
I don't say here's the thing.
No, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to say, here's the name.
Okay.
So he doesn't forget.
Something. You guys are a little snippy today.
You're rambly.
I'm...
Surprise.
who could have seen that coming? All right. I'm going to write down the last name of someone that I went to high school with. I'm going to show this to the assembled group here. To Sarah, to Tim, to Kristen. Are you... Do you use your last name in the air, too? Are you one of those DJs that just has the one name?
I use a totally different name, actually.
Never mind.
So
she doesn't.
You don't use the last name from accounting.
Oh, I've enabled all your stalkers now. Well, all right then. We just pay no attention to any of the discussion we had in the last hour. All right. Well, you're not an alternative DJ, so you might use a last name. Only alternative DJs are one name.
Like Quattro.
Yeah, no, it's always, you know, because it's so they can look relatable. You know, I am Jane. All right, let's see. I'm just like you. Okay, this is the last name. This is the last name that I'm going to show you of someone I went to school with. And then you can determine whether I say this on the air, knowing full well that if I say this name, then we will be besieged by phone calls for the duration of the program. And it was a girl, by the way, who had this last name. That's how I roll. That's what I'm talking about right there.
That might be a proud German name.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's break.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We continue after this. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, you know, like, what am I going to do? You know? It's like that website. People want to know, but I can't say it. It's wrong. All right. Ed McCarthy coming up. Top five. Jen Lane. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.